and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I want to talk to you about how Jesus heals. And one day, as he was teaching in Luke 5 and verse 17, he was teaching the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem was sitting there, and the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And some men carrying a paralytic on a mat tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, Friend, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sin but God alone? Jesus knew what they were thinking. And I like that because he's God. So it's like he's just kind of highlighting, hey, I'm God. And Jesus knew what they were thinking because he's God. Why are you thinking these things in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? But that you may know that I am the Son of Man and has authority to forgive sins, he said to the paralyzed man, get up on your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he'd been lying on, and went home praising God. And everyone was amazed and gave praise to God, and they were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Isn't God good? You know, I love that, you know, on that particular occasion, it says that the power and presence of God was there to heal the sick. Kind of talks on seasons or moments or feelings. And, you know, it's not a coincidence that, you know, I would turn to your pastor and say, you know, I can, when the band's worshiping, I can feel something. And that feeling is real. That feeling is the house of God. You know, in James 5, it says, if you're sick, come to church. And if you've got things that are wrong with your life, confess them. Get your relationship right with God. And if you're sick, let the elders pray for you. And the prayer of faith will heal you. And why is that? It's because when you come into the presence of God, when you come into the house of God, the worship team have already been here since like 6:30 in the morning, worshiping, praying. The intercessors have already been praying and believing God for a miracle. There's an atmosphere here that has been created week after week, month after month, believing God for a miracle. And so when you come in to church, we should expect a miracle. Why does it say, let the elders pray for you? Have you ever thought about that? It's because these men and women of God are trustworthy. Andrew and Wendy are trustworthy people. God uses elders and men and women who are of good character, who have already been praying for you throughout the week. So that an atmosphere is here. More people, I believe, get healed in church than outside of church. Why? Because the power and presence of God is here. An atmosphere for miracle. Come on, give God some praise in this place if you believe that. I believe with all my heart. I remember a good friend of mine said, Andrew, I want you to come. Because I to my father's hospital, he's dying of cancer. And I believe that we can change atmospheres, friend. I don't even, as I was on the airplane, my friend, I was flying from Sydney to Melbourne, my friend turned to me and said, you know, I'm nervous. I haven't told my dad that you're coming. My dad's a heathen. He owned a tobacco farm, and his lungs are just filled with cancer because of the cigarettes that he's had. And he's going to pass away. And so, Andrew, come. And I was like, it'll be just fine. Have you ever walked into a hospital room and you've felt the heebie-jeebies? You've felt a feeling in a room. Has anybody felt a feeling in a room? And the feeling's not necessarily a good feeling. It's a bad feeling. We used to say when we were kids, it was like walking across a grave. Have you ever felt like, it's not. Anyway, maybe not you, but But that feeling's that atmosphere. And that atmosphere's got a name. It's called a spirit of death, spirit of destruction. An atmosphere has got a name. And so I'm walking into this room and I can feel the atmosphere. It's like death is knocking at him. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I begin to talk to him, and his wife is there as well. And they don't like Christians, they don't like church, and they've got a thing against it. And he's like, you know, on the machine, and it's like not good. And I said to my friend, I said, John, I said, Monique's asked me to come and to talk to you and share my story. And he goes, oh, okay. I said, you know, I was in the exact same spot when I was 15 years old, diagnosed with leukemia. And when I was 18 years old, after 5 years of fighting this disease, somebody came into my room and said, Andrew, we believe in a different report. We believe that Jesus can heal you. I said, John, I didn't believe. But when they put their hand on me, something happened for me. And God healed me. He goes, oh, what are you going to do? Sorry. He's like this. And I said, John, I said, I'd like to pray for you. Would that be okay? And he goes, all right. But he's thinking I'm going to go home and pray for him. You know what I'm talking about? Like, you leave the room and like pray for him. No. And I said, John, we should pray right here. And he goes, all right then. And so, like, I get my little iPhone out. These are what iPhones are created for. And I just put some C3 music on. Boom. Instantly. Come on, somebody. Instantly, the atmosphere changed. We can create an atmosphere. We bring an atmosphere. We can control these things. And so I'm put the romantic C3 music on. And so we've got a feeling happening in this room. It's just as easy as that. And then I said, John, we're going to pray. So we just began to pray. So I'm not doing anything. I'm just praying, God, look after John. Keep him, bless him, look him up. A nice prayer. And then I said, John, would it be all right if I just put my hand on you? And he goes, all right. So like I'm just kind of helping him out, you know, one step, two steps. So I put my hand on John. As soon as I put my hand on him, I could feel the power of God come in. He starts crying. I said, John, there's a great scripture, Psalm 121. It says, I lifted up my eyes to the Lord. I said, John, we're asking God for help. But wouldn't it be good if God was inside you? He wants to have a relationship with John. Oh, yes. I said, John, you can ask Jesus into your life today. So Monique's crying. Mum's crying now. They don't even believe in God, but an atmosphere, come on, is changing the room. The power and presence of the Lord was to heal the sick. And now the same God, the same feeling, here we are again. I said, John, and John prays the prayer, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, forgive me for any wrongs. And I could feel healing coming into his life. I said, John, I said, you know, what can't you do? And so now the nurse is here, you know, because he's on care. And he said, I can't stand. And I said, come on, John, why don't you stand? So here he is, hasn't stood for 3 months, standing in the hospital room, crying, everybody celebrating. And after a few weeks, they couldn't find any cancer in his lungs. And one of the great stories is that moment that we can create an atmosphere for people. This is what your pastors have done today. They're creating an atmosphere. This is what the worship team have done. This is what you've done is you've come with faith and prayers and belief that something is going to turn for not only you, but for other people in this moment. I love here because it says that the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. And it says four men carrying a paralytic on a mat, try to take him into the house. I love that these four guys had an unsaved friend who was paralyzed. And sometimes you have to take people somewhere where they don't even want to go. They don't know yet that something can shift in their life. They don't know that there's a miracle just around the corner. They don't know that they can be healed. They don't know that they can be saved. Sometimes you have to take your family somewhere where they don't even know where they need to go. They need to go somewhere. And so I don't even know. I like filling in the gaps, but this guy might not even wanted to go to church. So they go, mate, you go. And then I'm not going. And they go, well, here you go. Well, you've got to pick you up, and here you are. Just gag him a little bit, you know, and so he can't complain. You walk him into church. Poor guy, he's like, what's going on? And then, you know, and Jesus is just teaching. You know, it's, the place is packed out because Jesus is in the room. And they've heard about the miraculous. They heard about the stories. For the first time in the history of the world, friends, can you imagine? Lepers can be healed. Never before in the world could a leper be healed. And now they can. And the atmosphere is electric. The power of God is present to heal the sick. And you know the thing about that statement is, Jesus knew. Jesus knew that the healing was in the room. He could feel it. He knew that Dad was up to something. And so he's got goosebumps. And then the amazing thing is these four guys, they must have been teenagers, the youth department for sure, coming in with this young man and coming in and being declined to come into church because the room is too full. So they pray, God, there must be a different way. Friend, it doesn't matter how you come to Christ. You've just got to come. Whether you touch him on a garment, whether you're a beggar at the side of the road, it doesn't matter how you come. You've just got to come to Christ. They must have had a prayer meeting. They must have done something, looking up, and then they thought, man, the roof, brilliant. Brilliant. And so they go, how do they get the guy out? One, two, you know, so he can't complain. He's got a water. He's on the roof. You know what I mean? He's just not broken his back. He's broken his leg and his pelvis now. And they start opening the tiles to the roof. You know, like, you know, it's cool. Like, truly, these stories happened, which I think is awesome. If that happened today, this morning, and this beautiful building, I mean, truly, like security would be called, wouldn't it? Like, it would be an awkward moment. Like, the police would arrive, you know what I mean? And then, you know, in front of everybody, like Jesus is talking, and then... the guy, lower down. You know, and the four teenagers, legit! You know, slapping each other, going, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, we got him down. It's not good. Youth department. They're loving it. They're just loving it. And Jesus looks out. The crowd looks at the four guys. Legit! And looks at the guy who's crippled. And he says to the four guys, and says to this guy, he says, because of their faith, your sins are forgiven. Shut the gate. The first time in the history of the world, the first time, somebody else's sins are forgiven because of somebody else's faith. It's never been, God just breaks all the rules. How annoying. You're supposed to do this, but no, God says, no, because of their faith, your sins are forgiven. It's just like, what? Like, if that was reversed, like if that happened today, and I said, hey, dude, because of their faith, your sins are forgiven, you'd be like, boo. Because we want the guy to walk. We like the show. Like, get him up, Andrew, get him up. God goes, no, hey, listen. I got to address the greatest priority of this man's life. His soul. You see, friends, listen to me. You can get to heaven with cancer in your life, but you can't get to heaven with sin in your life. If you haven't got a relationship with God, you're not getting in. That's what the Bible teaches us. And he's saying, friend, your sins are the greatest miracle had already happened. Right there. Should have been a roar. celebration that a soul is saved. Jesus knew. He knew there was healing in his room, in the room. The power and presence of God was there to heal the sick. He's looking, looking all the time in the service. Who is it now? That person. No, 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 no. It's not. Maybe that. No. I don't know who it is. Dad serves them on a platter. Jesus must have been tempted. Come on. He must have been tempted to say, get up and walk. That would have been the obvious. He already knew the power of God was there to heal the sick. He goes, no, friend, your sin's forgiven. The religious people get upset about it. Who is this fellow? Why is he saying that? And Jesus says, hey, listen, just to prove a point. Just by the way, get up and walk. Could you imagine the guy? It's like, shush. My legs. My legs. I can feel my legs. Everything's changing for me. Everything is shifting now. He takes his mattress and goes home, praising God. And it says, and everybody was in wonder. My brother, just right now, is very, very sick. Back in the day, he worked on a seed and grass plant, and they used really bad chemicals, and he was mixing all the chemicals without a mask and without gloves, and now he's got MS and M everything, basically just in a very bad spot. I've been talking to him, praying with him, and he got stem cell treatment just recently, and I've been talking to him, praying with him, and believing God for his miracle. He's asked God into his life, but sometimes, you know, but he's not really living for God, if you put it like that. So just the other day, I've been praying, so I'm going to keep on praying for your healing, for your miracle. He lives in New Zealand. I live here in Sydney. I rang him yesterday, and he said, Andrew, he said, this really weird thing happened to me. I said, what's that? He said, when I was working, a man who I've never seen before, don't even know, walked into my work. He's the boss of his company. And he says, I'm here to pray for healing for you. And my brother says, really? And he goes, yes, I'm here. And so he goes, okay. And so my brother says, you can pray for him. So he anoints him with oil on his head and on his hands. And my brother said he prayed a passionate prayer. So I don't know what that meant, but obviously he had a good go. My brother said, you know what? He said, I've had pain behind my eyes for like 20 years. And he said, that's all gone. He said, my body just feels so different. Something's changing, Andrew. He said, did you send him? And I was like, well, kind of. So I want to take the credit. But maybe God sent an angel. I don't know. I actually don't know. Don't know whose name. Don't know his name. Don't know anything about him. Except somebody had faith for my brother. They changed an atmosphere. Come on. Changed an atmosphere. Maybe God's calling us to change an atmosphere over somebody else's life. Maybe a friend, a neighbor that would never... that we've seen a few times, and maybe we tried, but we gave up. I believe we can have a revival right here in C3 Bridgman Downs. We're family members. Come on. Mums and dads, brothers and sisters, aunties and uncles could find Christ. That we could be the angel in their life. We could pick somebody up and bring somebody to the Lord. I thank God that even in my story, as a pretty broken, beaten up 15-year-old, a young girl, the only Christian I knew in our school, invited me to a youth group. So brave, so courageous. And when she said, would you come? I said, yes. Well, first of all, I liked her. But second of all, it was the invitation that brought me to Christ.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.